over here, no, no plant at all. It looks good. Make sure it stays that way, but that should not be in there. If you need to move it over later, do that. Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord, after living on this earth for almost 100 years, said only the supernatural love of God through changed lives can solve the problems that we face in our families, in our churches, and in our world. Can somebody say amen? Join me, my beloved, in reciting or reading the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. And you need to brighten that as well. Brighten it to the highest level. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He was seen alive by Mary Magdalene and the other women, the disciples, and over 500 other brethren. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Church, and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, we are still dealing with what I call the family verses, the family instructions from God. God is the maker of the family, and God has given us instructions specifically through the power of the Holy Spirit for each and every person in the family. And the reason why most families are jacked up is because we have everybody out of order, or we have just one Negro out of order, causing havoc for everyone else. Now, in every family, listen to me very carefully, and in every church, and in every government, there is a Judas. You just mark it down. The spirit of Judas is alive and well. The spirit of lying and betrayal. There's always a Negro causing, at least one Negro causing problems. May God help you if you have two or three Negroes causing Judas problems in your family. These people have this uncanny satanic issue in their lives that they are constantly trying to tear down what God is trying to build up. It could be the husband, the father. It could be the wife and the mother. or it could be an older child, an adult child. But it's a, and may God help you if you got two or three of them. You will, if you never prayed before, you will pray. And I believe that God allows Judases, so that God's people will pray. And everybody in your family is not saved. I hope to God that they are, but in many cases, in most cases, everybody in your family is not saved. Everybody in your family is not going to heaven. And you might as well just go ahead and accept that. It is our prayer that they do. We need to witness to them and encourage them to get saved. But Jesus, out of all of his disciples, he knew about Judas, and he called Judas a devil. And you know you got a devil in your family. You know you got a devil in your church. You know you got a devil in your business. You got a devil in your governmental office. There's always a Judas hanging around. And Jesus warned us that our greatest enemies will oftentimes be those in our own family. Here you are over here trying to build up a church, and you got a wife over here trying to tear it down. And on we can go with that. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. We dealt with the wife and the mother. We dealt with the wife, rather. We dealt with the husband. We're dealing with the children. Then we're going to deal with the father and the mother. Not we. God is. Because God is large and in charge. Children, obey your parents in the Lord until you are 18 years old. That is not what the Bible says. That's what Americana says. For this is right. And in Missouri, we got people, men flocking to Missouri now, trying to get them a 13-year-old to 15-year-old bride, because Missouri has a law that they need to get rid of. I said they need to get rid of it, allowing girls to get married at 13 or 15 years old or some mess like that. And the whole country needs to get rid of the idea of children being ready to drive at 16. They're not even ready to drive, much less get married. They don't even know what they don't even know what marriage is. They don't even know what single life is. You can't have a girl who just still on the edges, interested in dolls, and then trying to get interested in a man 10 years older than she is, and all kind of mess like that. That's not fair to her. And they need to stop that mess. But according to the scriptures, children ought to obey their parents throughout their lives. They don't have to, but they should if their parents are in the Lord. Now, if your parents are not in the Lord, that's a different ballgame for sure. Verse 2, honor thy father and mother. No age limit on this at all. Which is the first commandment with promise. And this also means that you may do and carry yourself in a certain way in your private single life or married life or whatever. But if you visit your parents and your father has certain rules and he doesn't want to have in his home, then you ought to honor him and respect that. And come into his home in the right way. For example, if you're going to visit your father, and he does not allow alcohol in the house, don't try to slip some alcohol in the house and back in the room and have folks drinking when you know he doesn't want that. Honor your parents. honoring means respecting. God is big on respect. You know why? Because if you don't respect somebody, you're not going to listen to them, you're not going to obey them. God was not big about, God does want the wife to love her husband, but he was not too big on that part. The main thing he has told wives is to respect your husband, reverence your husband, honor your husband. See, because if you do that, you're not going to do things that's going to cause problems for you. And by the way, there's some wise women in the world. There's some wise women in the world who know how to do it. They know how to honor and respect their husband, and they get everything they want. They are footloose and fancy-free because they don't go out embarrassing their husband and writing blog posts about their husband, hint, 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 at the other girlfriends out there in their little so-called ministry. They don't do that. That's not smart. Because a man, he may be a little teddy bear to you right now that you got in subjection, but if he's a man, he's going to rise up on you after a while. And it's not going to be pretty. If he has any testosterone in him whatsoever, sister, he's going to rise up after a while. He's going to rise up on you. And it's not going to be pretty. So you need to quit that disrespect. And I want to tell your mother something else. The more you do all of this running off at the mouth in front of your husband, and your daughters are watching it for 10, 15, 20, 30 years, they're going to turn out to be just like you. Amen, somebody. Stubborn, rebellious, mean, hateful. Please stop calling yourself a Christian. And you are stubborn, rebellious, mean, you're hateful, you're vindictive. But yet you call yourself a Christian and pop off in church smiling and grinning, laughing at everything the preacher says. You hypocrite. All nice and sweet towards other people and their kids and smiling at other men and their children, but you full of hell and the devil at home. You need to stop that hypocrisy, because you're raising your daughters and your sons to be the same thing. Hypocrites at home. Phonies and fakes. Mean. Despiteful. And watch this. Just as mean and hateful and disrespectful as you are towards your husband, your children are going to be towards one another when they get grown. Can't speak peaceably with one another. Verse 3, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And some of you are saying, I thought we were talking about children this morning. I would have never tuned in if you're going to start talking about the mother and the wife and the father and everybody else. No, because see, I'm not. First of all, you need to understand all of this goes together. Okay, people, it's not the husband here. I'm breaking it down like that for you. It's not about just the husband here, the wife here, the father here, the mother here, and the children all separate. No, this family goes together. Okay? So, it all goes together. But everybody must do their part. Stephen J. Cole writes in his commentary on this passage, to whom is Paul speaking when he says children? The Greek word can refer to children of varying ages. Obviously, Paul is speaking to children old enough to understand the command, because he addresses them directly. He's not necessarily talking to little babies. And have you noticed that the little babies, the children, their hearts are far more pure, and they're far more loving and cheerful and obedient and fun and so forth. But as they grow older, that's what you got to deal with. When they understand more, when they become, they get to the age of so-called accountability, and it's different for every child, but most folks are right around about 11, 12, 13, up in there. That's when you had to start dealing. I mean, you need to be dealing all along, but you're going to have to deal when you get around that age. And they understand more. And then he says they could have ranged from the very young to perhaps even young adults still living at home, and even those who are not living at home. One of the mistakes that parents in America make, the Americana idea of 18, I'm done. Some parents have done such a poor job, they can't wait to the criminals, 18-year-old criminals, leave their home and become somebody else's problem. And that's a shame before God. But you make a serious mistake to think your children are ready for everything out there in this world. And your voice needs to be in their lives, whether they want it or not. And it's up to them to obey you once they leave home. But it would behoove them to obey you. And if they choose not to obey you, they must learn it the hard way, like most people learn it. And that's the foolish way. The wise way is to do what people who have already gone this way and who know you, in which way you ought to go, and willing to help you get there. And but they go contrary, then they must suffer the consequences. And it's a bitter pill to swallow. He goes on to say, as long as a child is single and dependent on his or her parents for financial support, he is obligated to obey them unless they command him to do something that would require disobeying God. Even as adults, we should respect our parents' counsel and go against it only after careful consideration and prayer, and even then, if your parents are in the Lord, you would do wise to follow what they tell you, because they know life, they know about life, and they know about you. And more importantly, they know about God. And they know God. So they can save you years of problems and going down a dead-end road. The command, he says, to honor our parents is lifelong. So our text applies to all of us whose parents are still alive. If you have children still at home, it is your responsibility to help them understand and obey this important commandment. And the church said, amen. You're not going to hear this kind of thing in most places today. So take heed to it. That's if you want peace in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, join us in prayer for the family. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you'll help every Christian family get on revival ground so that our families can be revived. And then so that our churches will be revived again. And Lord, we pray that parents would do their part and children would do their part according to your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, join me in reading our devotional Bible passage for this morning, Psalm 119, 17 through 24. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. You don't have the Aaron, do you? I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commands. Hide not thou commandments from me. By the way, we're all strangers in the earth, and we need God's commandments. We need God's guidance. By the way, we're all children. If we're saved, we're children of God. If you're lost, you are children of the devil. I'm just saying. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud. We have proud people in our families and in our churches who are constantly causing problems for themselves and others. Too proud to ask for help. Proud, trying to be Mr. Independent or Miss Independent and end up ruining their lives. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Now regarding this passage, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Matthew Henry writes in his fine commentary, we will all perish if God deals in strict justice with us. We ought to spend our lives in his service. By the way, are you doing that? Are you spending your life serving God? Or are you just serving yourself? You are the little G God sitting on the throne of your life and not the big G God. I assure you that you'll be a much happier person if you served the big G God and stop serving yourself. Some of you are miserable little small packages, as Michael Jordan said, because you're wrapped up in yourself. It's all about you. You're miserable, you're sad, you're disgusted, and you are disgusting. People don't even want to be around you because they know that it's all about you. We shall find true life in keeping his commandments, his word. Amen, somebody. You're not living if you're not connected to God. You're dead. If you're not connected to God through Jesus Christ, you're dead. And in a sense, you're dead if you're not obeying God. You're dead in trespasses and sins. And your life is a sad, hot mess. You cannot be disobedient to God over here and think you're going to be successful over here. It doesn't work that way, my beloved. It just doesn't work that way. I'm sorry to inform you. And then again, I'm not sorry, because I'm telling you the truth. Those that would see the wondrous things of God's law and gospel must beg him to give them understanding by the light of his Holy Spirit. Amen, somebody. Believers feel themselves strangers on earth. They fear missing their way and losing comfort by erring from God's commandments. Listen, this is very important. Pardon me. Sometimes you need to look online and go to Google Earth and look at the earth twirling around on nothing, hanging on nothing, and realize that without God and his commandments and guidance, you will get lost in this big old world. Every sanctified soul hungers after the word of God as food, which there is no living without. That's why we're here this morning. We need to pray together to the God of heaven, and we need to read his word together. Amen, somebody. And those of us who are saved, we hunger for this. Those of us who are truly born again, we understand that this is the most important part of our day. And we also understand it lays the foundation for us to pray without ceasing throughout the day and to meditate on the Holy Word of God throughout the day as well. Join us, beloved, in praying for the estates. You know what the estates are now, so let's get right to pray. Holy Father God, we pray for church leadership, and we pray for the church as a whole, that we cease praying for revival and pray that we get on revival ground through prayer, through seeking your face, through turning from our wicked ways and humbling ourselves. We do pray for an awakening to take place in the country once we are revived, that your Holy Spirit would move mightily upon lost people, including governmental officials. And we pray for them based upon your holy word, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And Holy Father God, we pray and we thank you for all of our presidents, and we have prayed for all presidents since Ronald Reagan. We pray that since I got saved by your grace, we pray today for President Donald Trump and his administration. We pray that you would give these people wisdom. We pray that you would save their souls, grant them salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical life, protection, and provision blessings upon their lives and upon our government if we are all willing to confess our sins and to repent. And we pray for Vice President Mike Pence, First Lady Melania Trump, Second Lady Karen Pence. And Holy Father God, we pray for all White House staff, including Deputy Assistant to the President, Renee Hudson, all leaders of federal agencies, including Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. And there seems like there's something going on there. We pray that they would make things right. We pray for all state governors, including Arizona Governor Doug Ducey, all city mayors, including Lubbock, Texas Mayor Dan Pope, all members of Congress, including California Representative Lucille Roy Ballard, all law enforcement officials, including St. Petersburg, Florida Police Chief Anthony Holloway. And we pray for all of the police officers in Austin, Texas. We pray for the comfort of those families that have been targeted with bombs. And, Lord, we don't know what's going on there right below us. In fact, Lord, we were, as you know, heading towards Austin on yesterday, and we thank you for leading us elsewhere. We still have to go through there, but Lord, the city is in turmoil, and we pray that you would comfort those people who have been impacted by the tragic bombings from boxes. We also pray for all military leaders, including Defense Secretary James Mad Dog Mattis over in Afghanistan even today. We pray for General James C. McConville, Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, leaders of nations around the world, Ireland's President Michael D. Higgins, and Prime Minister Leo Varadkar for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for Benjamin Netanyahu, who is a modern-day David, who you raised up to do a fantastic job to keep the country safe and Jerusalem safe. And Holy Father God, we pray for the people and the citizens of this country and around the globe. In many countries, the power base, we pray for the salvation of those who are lost, the revival of those who are saved. We pray for salvation, spiritual, family, financial, material, physical, life, protection, blessings upon them. And Holy Father God, we pray for healing in their lives and in their families. And we pray that you would help Christians get on revival ground. Pardon me. And Holy Father God, we pray for the media, the new media and the old media, and we pray that you would save those who are lost, strengthen and encourage those who are saved to do your will. And we pray that they would tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, through the power that they have towards the people. We pray, Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also pray for current events around the world. We pray for the comfort of the families of the folks who have been killed and injured in Austin, Texas. Lord, we don't know what's going on. We don't know who's doing it, but you do. And we pray that that person or these people would be captured. And we pray that you would heal the families who have been devastated beyond measure. We pray for the comfort of the families of the 50 people killed in a plane crash in Bangladesh. We pray for the comfort of the families of going forward. We pray for the comfort of the families of 5 people killed in a helicopter crash in Brooklyn, New York, and many other strange and tragic things that are happening in our society, especially to children. Lord, we pray for the girls, thousands of boys, who have been abducted and some of them thrown into sex slavery all around the world and have not been seen. And Lord, comfort those families, for that has got to be the greatest pain. Not knowing whether or not the child is alive or dead and what they're going through. And Lord, we pray for Jumba, bless his ministry, as we pray now for prayer requests that have come in. Bless his ministry and bless his life. We pray for James. Please provide his church with the Bibles and Christian books for their school and church activities. We pray for G. Please use him to bring other people to you. Bless him with enough money to build church buildings. And we pray for those who have trusted you as Savior through this ministry, all of them. And we pray for a few by name. We pray for Kwame. We pray for Hasanu. And we pray for Divya. And Lord, we pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you through this ministry. We pray for all of them, totaling in the hundreds. And we pray for these by name. We pray for Brooke. We pray for Rita. And we pray for Lorraine. Help these all to stand strong in the faith, never to become backslidden again. Help them to live by your grace through prayer and through the power of prayer, and through reading and meditating on your holy word. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray. We commit their souls into your hands, and we commit our souls into your hands. Let your will be done in all of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, our devotional reading today is titled God of Order, by Dr. Billy Graham. And he starts this devotional with Psalm 18:2, which says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." The trouble with our modern thinking is that we have a conception that God is a haphazard God with no set rules of life and salvation. Ask the astronomer if God is a haphazard God. He will tell you that every star moves with precision in its celestial path. Ask the scientist if God is a haphazard God. He will tell you that his formulas and equations are fixed, and that to ignore the laws of science would be a fool's folly. If the laws in the material realm are so fixed and exact, is it reasonable that God could afford to be haphazard in the spiritual realm, where eternal destinies of souls are at stake? Just as God has equations and rules in the material realm, God has equations and rules in the spiritual realm as well. Amen, somebody. Remember, dear friends, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, or a woman soweth, that shall he or she reap. And these are universal laws and universal punishments for violations of God's laws. Always remember that. He doesn't have to stop and punish you directly. It's going to automatically happen to you. You reap what you sow. How you treat others is going to come back to you. many people around the world have different names for it. The Indians call it karma. But God calls it reaping what you have sown. You sow evil, evil is coming back to you. You mark it down. So obey the laws of God and be blessed. My people and my friends and my foes. Let's pray. Holy Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you for not being a haphazard God, as Billy Graham called it. We know that you're not. You are the God of order and decency. You're the God also grace and mercy that is beyond measure. And we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for this time together. For, Lord, we know that there are a thousand things that need to happen for this to happen. And you pull it off every day. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor for these devotionals and these devotions, family devotions that we've been doing for 30 years before we did it in front of others, in hopes that others would have their own family devotions for years to come. In Jesus Christ's name, help us to obey your word and to pray without ceasing throughout this day, whether we feel like it or not. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, in closing, my beloved, this morning, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven? I hope so. Or hell? I hope not. But if you're not sure, if you don't know, then, dear friend, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him today for your salvation from sin and hell and your salvation to heaven to be with God forever. If that is your desire, then you will trust Christ as Savior. But first, please accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have done evil, haven't we, in our lives? Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die physically. Because of our sin, we die spiritually because of our sin. And if we don't trust Christ as Savior in this life, we go to a devil's hell forever. And by the way, hell was made for the devil and his demons, not for human beings. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, if you have never trusted Christ as Savior, if you never believed on Him, if you have never received Him into your heart, you're on your way to hell right now. Jesus Christ was a hellfire and brimstone preacher because He loved people, and He loves people. And He said these words, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able, Daniqua, to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now that is bad news, but here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. For Romans 10:9-13 says, that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you would simply believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins as the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, was buried and rose again, and pray and ask him to save your soul, he will save you. There's no doubt about it. And if God can save a wretch like me and call me to preach, one who hated preachers and church and religion, then God can save you. Allow me to lead you in prayer. Someone led me in what is called by many the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ please. Well, first, Lord, I acknowledge to you that I am a sinner. I admit to you that I have broken your Ten Commandments by stealing, by lying, by lusting, by dishonoring my parents, and many other sins down through the years. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins, was buried, and rose again, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. I receive you today, and I receive your gospel. I believe in you today, and I believe your gospel that you, Lord Jesus, died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past, and to turn from my old and evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, the Bible, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. And I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you. is my prayer.